What's going on, y'all? We back. Another show. Season 1, Episode 3. Coming to you from the Anchor app. It's your boy, Jerm the Great, 17 North Podcast. Let's go ahead and jump right into it, man. I'm not going to keep y'all that long. Just a couple of things I want to start out by saying, though. I will be back on YouTube eventually. It's a couple of technology things that I got to get together. I'm not really tech savvy. Not really that guy. Still learning. Got a couple people helping me out with that. So we'll be back visually sooner rather than later. I want to thank all my subscribers. If you're not subscribed, just go to YouTube. Look up 17 North Brand. One word. 17 North Brand. 17 North Brand. Subscribe to the page. Watch the first episode. Like the first episode. Even if you don't watch the whole hour and 11 minutes, just give me a like so we can get that thing in the algorithm. I was on here, I was on YouTube in my room with my Fire Stick the other night. And I stay on YouTube. I live on YouTube. I watch a lot of stuff on YouTube. So it's like, I'm in my recommended. You know, I'm just going through them. And I say about, probably like number 5 or 6 is when I saw my own shit pop up. And yo, I was hyped. And I watched it. That was a big accomplishment for me, man. That's a small win. Last time I checked, I think I got like 15 subscribers. So if I can get to 20 by the time Thanksgiving get here, I'm Gucci. And I want to be at 50 by the time the new year start. So y'all make sure that happens for your boy. We got a lot to talk about today. I'm gonna address the NFL and NBA. A few stories from there. I want to start with the NFL like I normally do. Couple of things. We're gonna talk about the Russell Wilson experiment, whether it's going wrong. We're gonna talk about my game prediction outcomes, which is pretty good. This is 3 weeks in a row, man. Like I'm doing good on that. I'm gonna give y'all my fantasy sports report. What's trending in the NBA? I'm gonna give y'all the same thing. It's gonna be a fantasy sports report for the NBA. I'm going to also give y'all some insight on the power rankings that the leagues put out. A couple of stories in the NBA as well. But yeah, just the hottest shit. Not the hottest shit, but this is stuff that I deem hot. You know, we talk about a little bit of everything. But I know last week we talked about Brett Favre and Daniel Snyder. Talked about hot seat in the NFL, fantasy report, basically the same show with just different stuff. But I want to talk about Russell Wilson. The Broncos coming into this week that just passed, they were 2-5. Not looking good. Russ, before the Jaguars game, he was only completing 58% of his passes. He was 20th in yards. He was 26th in touchdown passes. He was 29th in QBR at 35. They signed him to an extension with 2 years left on the deal from Seattle. So 7 total years is what they're tied to him for. The 5 years that Denver signed him was for $245 million. A lot of money for them to be 3 games under 500. And then you just look at the trade itself that the Broncos did just to get Russ. They gave up a lot. They gave up 4 players and 5 picks. So that's 9 players for the price of 1. I mean, you think that the Broncos should be number one team in the league if you give up that much for a quarterback. But it hasn't worked out that way. Just from what I've seen of the Broncos, which is not that much, I just see a bunch of nothing, basically. Like, there's no points. They don't score a lot of points for whatever reason. And I think on paper, they got the weapons. They got a decent offensive line. They got a good group of running backs. Not one particular guy in the backfield is like, you know, a bell cow or nothing like that, but collectively they run the ball well enough. Weapons, obviously. I mean, I don't think Russ would have went there if there weren't no weapons. Judy, Cortland Sutton, they traded Noah Fant. But there's weapons there. And you're supposed to have some guru offensive coach, Nathaniel Hackett, who used to coach Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, you look at it, they got a top 10 defense. The defense has been good since the Super Bowl run that they had. Even though they traded Bradley Chubb, I think they did it because they figured that they would be okay. I don't think they would have did that if they didn't think they'd be fine. And I tend to agree that I think Denver's going to have a good defense. They usually do. But I just think that as of right now, as we're, 9 weeks into the season, I'm going to say that Denver lost the trade because they're kind of stuck with this underperforming quarterback at the moment. Not saying that Russ can't turn it around. Not saying that he won't. I'm talking about, as it stands, it was a bad deal for the Broncos. But again, I got faith in that. Excuse me. I have faith in that organization. I have faith in John Elway and the GM to kind of straighten that out. But I think it starts with Russ. He's the highest paid on the team, and that's what comes with that. With whom much is given, much is required. And he not playing up to the required standard of a guy that makes that much money and has that much pull and gets as many perks as he does. Nah, you got to be better. I'm going to bounce around just because I feel like it. Next thing I want to talk about is the Nets and Lakers. And are their seasons over or are they just in jeopardy? I think before yesterday, we would all agree that the Nets were in a better position because they were a little more structured. They had a team. They had a coach that's been there a few years. They have more time invested in each other. But then Steve Nash got fired yesterday. So I think Brooklyn's pretty much done. I think it's a circus. I think that this is what happens when you give the wrong players power within the organization. I think the Nets just went off of cachet more so than actual leadership ability. I don't think Kyrie or KD are, good leaders. I think they're good hoopers, but they don't need to be entrusted with making decisions. It's just bad. It's bad up there in Brooklyn right now. That's really like the nicest way to say it. It's kind of bad up there. It's a lot going on. And then the person that they are trying to hire, I personally don't have a problem with Ime Udoka being able to get another job. He ain't commit no crime, you know what I mean? And he hasn't coached at all this year. But I think the problem would be that if he does go to Brooklyn, the quote-unquote suspension that he's under in Boston wouldn't apply. And that could potentially be a public relations issue due to the Me Too movement and when the people who are for women's rights and advocacy and all of this stuff. But, and while I understand how the optics could look bad, I just think that by black and white, meaning letter of the law, if he gets hired by Brooklyn, he's no longer tied to Boston, so the suspension shouldn't be tied to him either. I think the man has been through enough publicly as far as ridicule and judgment and just negativity that's being thrown towards him, Nia Long, and their family. So personally, I do not think it is a problem that Brooklyn's hiring him and they need to hire him because they're damn near the worst defensive team in the league. So that's the kind of coach that they need. Number one, he's the best one that's available right now, in my opinion. And I believe he's the one that can handle that locker room that's seriously lacking any kind of leadership and direction and accountability. I've watched Brooklyn a few times this year. They don't even try on defense. Like, they give up open threes like you wouldn't believe. I feel like I could knock down six of them in the game if I was playing against Brooklyn. Ben Simmons is not doing what Ben Simmons is supposed to do, but that is no surprise to me. Neither should it be to you guys. And I ain't even talking offense, because we know he trash on that end. I'm talking what he's there for defensively. He's fouling out in like three games so far this year. Shot the ball more than six times only twice this year. Like, so it's the same old Ben Simmons. Underachieving, overpaid, nothing new. I wasn't a fan coming into the draft that year. I didn't want my team to draft him at all. Everybody was telling me, Justin, you tripping, bro. That he the best player, 21-13. I'm like, yeah, all of that. And he can't make the tournament at a Power 5 school. I'm sorry. NCAA tournament is, what, 63 teams now? So it's like, you can't be... If you're the best player in the draft, you should be one of the best 63 teams in college basketball. On a lesser level of talent. That's just how I view shit. Like, I really break everything down. And if you're at LSU, which is a Power 5 school, meaning that you're going to get more favored to make the tournament, even if your record isn't as good as it quote-unquote should be, the simple fact that you didn't make the tournament is a problem for me. And it's always been a problem for me. I look at stuff like that, and I see a player that picks and chooses when he wants to. He picks and chooses when he wants to. How can I say this? He picks and chooses how he goes about getting what he wants. You know what I mean? Not really for the team, so to speak. That's always been a big red flag to me. And I had my friend tell me the other day, who was on the opposite end of my argument, telling me that I was tripping. He told me yesterday, he's like, bro, you right, bro. Like, at this point, like, you was right. Like, everything you were saying kind of panned out. And I'm like, yeah, because it's just like, that matters. Like, how you perform before you get the money matters, man. Who you are before you get the check matters. Like, money don't change you. It only multiplies who you were. Like, that's what money do. Same shit Ben Simmons did last year for Brooklyn. Just got his check and sat down. Played when he wanted to play and shit. Like, that. He been doing that forever. His whole life. Like, people just been giving him shit. You know what I mean? Like, he has an entitlement issue. And then you look at Kyrie with all of the shit that he got going on. Like, listen, man. I ain't here to judge nobody on how they feel or how they feel to express themselves, but it's just like, sometimes, man, like, don't post it. You know what I mean? You don't gotta post everything. Like, you know the platform you on. You know how people view you already. You know people looking for you to slip up so they can use it against you. And he kind of just, like, handed them the gun itself. Like, you can have your own feelings, but when you're a public figure and you're already under scrutiny for the way you quote unquote think, I don't think it's smart to add to that. Like, you should want that shit to die down a little bit before you start coming back with even more extreme shit, bro. Like, that was a lot. You know what I mean? And in the climate that we in, where it's real sketchy to express yourself in a way that's honest and direct because you're afraid that you're going to offend somebody. And that's just regular people. Like, that's just me and you. Like, regular people. Like, we got to be careful with the shit that we say. And we don't even have, like, a quote-unquote platform that anybody really gives a fuck about. But yet and still, we can't just say what we want to say in the workplace or in the streets or in the grocery store or in the gas station or in Walmart. We can't. If we can't do it as regular people, I mean, people with platforms, you got millions and millions of followers, dude. You know they're going to hold you to a higher standard just based off of that because you have status. Not saying it's right because you're human. Like, you're not in public office. You should not be held to a higher standard than a citizen because you're not in public office. But it is what it is. Our reality isn't always what it should be. But it is what it is. And so I don't think Kyrie really helped himself there. On top of the fact that he has a track record of missing games and going on hiatus whenever he wants. When he sits out, his teams typically do better, according to the record. When he leaves teams, they go further, according to the Boston Celtics. I mean, neither one of the best players have done anything outside of the players that they won the championship with. Like, let's just be honest. The Nets have only won one playoff series since they both got there. I don't think they're worth the trouble. But at this point, what do? If you're Brooklyn, you just re-signed KD for 4 more years. Nobody want Kyrie. That's why you accepted the player option. So what do? You just got to wait this shit out. Get your coach in there. See if he can salvage the season. If not, we chop it up. Pick in the lottery. Do what we got to do. But Brooklyn is a mess right now. They're 1-5. Well, before this show, I'm saying, like, a game or two has probably happened since. But when I planned the show out, they're 1-5, which is dead last in the East. While Kyrie's averaging 31, KD's averaging 32. The next highest scorer on the team is Claxton at 11 a game. That's a problem. Ben Simmons this season, 6 points, 6.5 rebounds, 7 assists, a 9.5 PER. As a team, the Nets are 18th offensively and 29th defensively. They allow 15 threes a game, which is the most in the NBA. It's crazy. They had a players-only meeting after 5 games in, which was not good. That was the writing on the wall for Steve Nash. They're a mess, and I don't know how they're going to clean it up. I just don't. Moving on to the Lakers, who aren't really any better. Got their first win against Denver, and it makes them 1-5. Bron 26-9-7, AD 24-9.5, 3 steals, 2 blocks, Russ 12.7 boards, 4 assists, 8.59 PER, 31% from the field, 12% from 3, 65% from the line. You look at those three players and you think two of the three are contributing and one is trying to find his way in a role that he's never played before. But I must say, in his last 2 games, Russ has averaged 18 points, 8 boards, and 5 assists with 2 turnovers, shooting 41% from the field. He's never going to be the most efficient shooter, but 41 is 10 points higher than 31. That 12% three, he went 2 of 4 in the win. So if he can make 1 out of 4, 1 out of 3, I think they'll accept that. 12% is terrible, and he has to make 80%. He's a career 78% free throw shooter. So if he can at least get back to that, I think they'll be fine. Offensively, outside of those three, they're really limited. But I think with Russ moving to the bench, it helps because he can create those shots for those players that can't really do it for themselves off the bench. And the ball is not taken out of his hand because LeBron isn't on the floor. I think Russ and AD can play with the bench as well. I think Russ and LeBron should only finish games on the court. For the majority of the game, I don't think they need to play together. Just based on unless LeBron's shooting well at night. If his catch and shoot is on, then you leave him in. But if it's a normal game, I want Bron and Russ not on the court at the same time because they both have to have the basketball. As a team, the 30th offensively, which is putrid, is terrible. Second to last. They're 11th in defense, man. They're competitive. They're a top 10, 11 defensive team in the NBA. So, I mean, they're in these games until about the fourth quarter, and then they just lose them. But you play defense, man. If you play defense at a top 10 level, in more games than not, you'll have a chance to win them. And at this point, the way the team is constructed, I think that's all you could ask for. And you're not going to win them all, but you're not going to lose them all either. But if you're shooting 21% from three, like they were in the first week of the season, you're not going to win too many games in today's NBA. Moving on, guys. Game predictions. Yo, listen, I'm telling y'all, bro, I don't bet people because, first of all, I don't really like gambling like that, but that's really why I don't bet, because I don't like gambling, especially on sports, because sports is so, it's entertainment at the end of the day. Anything that's entertained is controlled. That's another story for another day. But I started game predictions this season for NFL. These are NFL game predictions, by the way, for week 8, week just passed. Coming in, which is week 6 and 7, so the past 2 weeks, this is the third week, week 8, made the third week. But the 2 weeks prior to this week, I've had an 18-8 record with two exact scores. So that's 10 over 500. This week, I had another good week. I went 10-5 this week. No exact scores, but I had four exact spreads. Or three. Can't really remember. I should have wrote it down. It's either one of those numbers, three or four. Like spreads, meaning like the amount that the team won by. Not necessarily the score, but the spread. The games that I picked wrong, I'll just do those because the rest of them are right. I was wrong. I picked the Jags to beat the Broncos. That didn't happen. I picked the Raiders to beat the Saints. The Raiders didn't even fucking score. Thanks a lot. Picked the Jets over the Patriots. I don't know why I did that. I was thinking the Jets were ready, man, and I didn't think Zappy could have got it done, but Belichick figured shit out. He always do. I picked the Texans over the Titans because I figured, you know, you got to get an upset in there somewhere. You know what I mean? So I just tried to pick them. I was right, though, about the Hawks over the Giants. Those cross-country games, people sleep on. Like, when you got to travel time zones, it's not, I don't really care what the record is. Like, that's not going to be nothing easy to do. Jet lag is a real thing. I was wrong over the Cincinnati and Cleveland game. I picked Cincinnati and Cleveland and waxed them. Like, that was bad. But now my overall record with the 10-5 this week and the 18-8 in the previous two, that brings me to 28-13. Overall win-loss these past 3 weeks. I don't know if y'all keeping track. I don't know if y'all do the same thing that I do, but 28-13 is a good record. My fantasy sports report for this week in football. I had a good week. I only lost 2 games out of 5 leagues. I went 3-2 this week, which brings me to 19-20 on the season. 1 game under .500. I'm only struggling in 2 of my leagues. Like, I only got a losing record in 2 of my leagues. I'm 3-5 in one league and 2-6 in another league. But team one coming in this week was 5-2. We got the job done. We're at 6-2 now, still in first place. DeAndre Hopkins was the MVP of that team this week with 12 catches, 159 yards, and a touchdown, equaling 33.9 fantasy points when you play PPR, which is the only way to play fantasy to me. It's PPR. Team two coming in this week, we were 3-4. We got the job done. We're back to 500 at 4-4. MVP of the week. It was pretty spread out, pretty collective group effort. It wasn't nobody on the team over 20, actually. But we got it done. CeeDee Lamb, 5 catches, 77 yards and a touchdown, equaling 18.8 points via PPR. Team 3 came in to the week 3-4. This week here, we lost by, I lost by 8 points in that league. So I'm down to 3-5 in that. But boy, Derrick Henry, 32 carries, 219 yards, 2 touchdowns, 35.8 fantasy points via PPR. He's had 4 straight 100-plus yards rushing games, so Derrick Henry's starting to finally find his groove, which is good for that team. I think he'll carry me down the stretch. Team 4, we came into the week 3-3. We got the job done. So now that brings Team 4 to 4-3. Tua had a great day, carried the team, 29-36, 382 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 29.2 fantasy points via PPR. Team 5, the struggle team, came into the week 2-5, lost by about 25 to 30 fantasy points. That brought us down to 2-6. A lot of injuries on this team. Just trying to do a lot of patchwork. DJ Moore stood out, though. He had 6 for 152 in a tub, 27.5 fantasy points via PPR. Again, my record, overall record this in fantasy football this year is 19-20. Last week's MVP was Josh Jacobs. This week's MVP is another running back, Derrick Henry. Stat line again, 32 carries, 219, 2 touchdowns, 35.8 fantasy points via PPR. I started playing fantasy about 6-7 years ago, military. A couple of the guys got me into it, and I've been addicted ever since. I'm in three basketball leagues as well, and I'm in 5 fantasy football leagues. starting to love it. I do it every year. You want to get down? I'm hoping to have bigger leagues going forward. So if you're interested in learning fantasy sports, want to know about it, just let me know and I'll hook you up. I ain't gonna give you the formula. I just give you the basic game plan. I ain't gonna train no competition. Y'all figure that out on your own. That's how they did me. First year I played fantasy, I won 2 games, man. Like, it was bad, you know what I mean? But I had to learn through experience. What's trending? Trending news. Let's go to the trending. What's trending? AB defends his tweet of him and Brady's wife saying it is what it is. That guy is off the charts crazy. A couple weeks ago, there was a video out of him in Dubai in a pool flashing his slong in front of people that are just there as visitors and guests. By slong, I mean genitals and penis. He was out there cutting up, being AB at this stage of life. LeBron's The Shop show that's on YouTube, uninterrupted. The show was to partner with Prime for NFL. Watch style viewing, like the same way that Peyton Manning and Eli Manning do the Monday Night Football. LeBron, Maverick Carter, and a few more of his associates are going to look to do the same thing with the NFL. Just from a basketball player's perspective or whatever. I think it's dope. Brittany Griner's sentence was upheld. Her appeal was denied, and she is to start her 9-year prison sentence. Let's all keep her in our prayers as she's wrongly convicted and being detained over some shit that is way beyond her pay grade. This is some political shit between Russia and the United States, and I think it's really unfair that she has to be the scapegoat between the bullshit of two leaders that are acting like they're fucking shoe sizes. So, yeah, prayers up for BG, man. Like, praying for you, shorty, and we hope that you come home. That was the trending news. Those are the top 3 trending stories in sports. Gossip sports, at least. NBA stories. Steve Nash fired yesterday. Week 1 power rankings and the Spurs waived Joshua Primo amid sexual harassment allegations. I want to start with the Steve Nash firing. I already talked about the Nets, so I won't harp on players. I'll just talk about Steve. I do believe that Steve Nash was never supposed to even have that job, not because of anything other than inexperience. He's never coached before, and then you put him in the locker room with 2 guys that aren't leaders. 2 guys that only care about themselves, honestly, and 2 guys that undermine you before you even called a play for them. Same summer they hired him, Kyrie and KD both were on that we don't need a coach shit. It's going to be a collective group effort. If I'm Steve Nash, no, it ain't no collective or group effort. I'm the coach. Y'all going to do what I say because that's how this works. But again, he never said anything, so he basically kind of like subconsciously just handed over any credibility and power that he could have potentially had or even had going into that situation. Was lost that summer when he didn't address those 2, basically saying that he wasn't needed and you know, if you're not needed, then they're paying you for nothing. Like, I look at shit for what it really is, and that's what I saw. Like, that's what they're saying. We don't need a coach. But now that he's gone, and they had their first game last night. They lost, of course. So I guess now that the scapegoat is gone, who the hell can they blame? Moving on. Week 1 power rankings in the NBA. Pulled it from CBS Sports. And they had the Bucks at 1, of course. The Jazz at 6. I just wrote down the ones that, you know, caught my eye. Bucks at 1. Jazz at number 6. They're supposed to be tanking. I think somebody should tell them. Knicks at number 10, the Warriors at 13, Clippers at 20, Nets at 21, Lakers almost dead last at 29. And as far as the Joshua Primo situation, I remember that kid and I thought he was good. I figured he had talent and potential, and he does, but clearly there's something wrong. He admitted it himself. His words are, I'll tell you what happened first. He was released by the Spurs after being selected by them 2 years ago in the lottery. He was waived. He's 19, 20 years old. 12th overall pick in 2021. Accused of exposing himself to staffers. The victims who are accusing him of it work for the organization, and they all have the same lawyer from the Deshaun Watson case. So we'll see what further develops from that. Primo says in a statement that he wants to focus on his mental health right now. New segment called Who Went Off that I want to do for the NBA. Like every week, I'm going to pick five players that went off. Five players and an honorable mention about the players who's going off right now. And week two of the NBA season, or one, whichever one it was, Giannis averaged 34, 14, 5.8 assists with 39.81 PER. Crazy numbers. Giannis went off. Ja Morant, 32.6 points per game, which is third. Giannis was second in the league. Ja, 32.6 at third in the league, four rebounds, 6.8 assists. 32.1 PER, which was fifth. Giannis's 39.81 was second. Luka Doncic. Sorry, Ja went off. Luka Doncic, 35.2 points per game, first in the NBA. 10.8 rebounds, which is ninth in the NBA. 9.4 assists, which is fourth in the NBA. With a 34.34 PER, which is good for third. Luka went off. Luka trying to win MVP this year. I think that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to show people, bro. Pascal Siakam. People sleep. This dude is a good basketball player. 25.3 points per game, 9 rebounds, and 7.7 assists with a 24.5 PER. I think he is one of the most underrated players. I think that team in Toronto is one of the most underrated teams in the league. I think Toronto's always good. They got a good coach. Nick Nurse knows what he's doing up there. They just figure out ways to get it done. They do it collectively. They don't really care who gets to shine. It's somebody's night every night. It's got a good formula, man. They got a good thing going. They didn't really fall off after Kawhi left. It's been an adjustment, but they haven't fallen off. They're still competitive. So, yeah, Pascal Siakam, you went off, bro. Jason Tatum. 32.4 points per game, fourth in the NBA, 8 rebounds, 3.6 assists with a 32.98 PER, which is good for fourth in the league. Boston Celtics have a good record right now. Boston Celtics are playing good basketball. They're starting to put it together amidst the circus that's around them as well. Jason Tatum, I think, is probably he's in the top three of players under 25 that I would pick going forward to build a franchise around. I think he's good. And shout out to Duke, of course. Maybe biased, but who cares? Fuck y'all. So, yeah, Tatum, you went off and keep doing so. Honorable mention, Donovan freaking Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell for Cleveland. 31 points per game, second in the league. 4.8 rebounds, 6.4 assists with a 26.4 PER. He's balling. He's always been balling. I think Cleveland is a nightmare in a seven-game series. It's going to be hard to beat that team if they stay healthy. Caris LeVert is the X factor as far as the offensive side, and Jared Allen and Mobley interior. Those three guys can stay healthy, man. This gonna be a hard team to put out of the playoffs. Yeah, man. Short and sweet show this week. We're gonna keep it short. You know, everything was covered. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for rocking with me. Thank you guys for supporting what's going on. Thank you guys for supporting the brand. Thank you guys for being the brand. Thank you guys for believing in the brand. Thank you guys for believing in me. I am nothing without you. Shout out to my family, my friends, my brand ambassadors. Appreciate all the prayers, the likes, the comments, the shares, the clicks, the listens. I appreciate it all. Jerm the Gray here. Follow your boy on Instagram at 17North_cuts. 17North_cuts, cuts with a Z. One more time, 17North_cuts. That's the barber page. My personal page, germ_the_great. All the E's are threes. Okay? All the E's are threes. germ_the_great. That's my private page. Follow the podcast page on Instagram as well. 17North_podcast. 17North_podcast. Follow those three IG pages. Follow the YouTube page, 17 North Brand on YouTube. Support the channel. Get them likes up so we can get us in the algorithm and we can bring people this heat that I'm going to be bringing. Be on the lookout for more visuals. I'm working on it. working on the camera, working on the microphone, working on the laptop, trying to figure out if I can do it from a phone in between time. We'll work on it. Again, appreciate y'all. 17 North, Jerm the Great. We out you. Peace.